You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Welcome back to Quest to the Core. Today's episode is a little different than what we've done previously. We're taking a step back to reflect on the core framework itself. So from episode one to now, each part of core, you know, curiosity, openness, reflection, and embrace has shifted as we've worked with it in real conversations. Today, John and I are going to walk you through each element and look at how our own understanding has matured and talk about what it means for leaders who are developing themselves and also others.
When we first introduced core framework, we treated it like a compass, 4 points to help us as leaders, as individuals, to orient ourselves. But what we've noticed is that the more we've lived it, the more that we've talked about it, the more that we've shared our thoughts and perspective, the more dynamic it really has become. These aren't just static words. They are things that we do. They're things that we put into practice that have stretched us personally and hopefully have challenged not only us, but our listeners as well, and have grown through into a deeper conversation each time we talk about one of the elements. I think today's reflection is really about honoring the growth and helping ourselves and our listeners see how core can keep evolving in our own leadership journey.
I think this will be a great opportunity for us to really even embrace and appreciate the journeys that we've been on as we've been doing this podcast. Because we've shared a lot, you know, during the podcast.
Yes.
reluctantly and willingly, we've shared a good bit on our own journey. And at the beginning, when we started the journey of creating the podcast, I don't know if I appreciated the effect it would have on me personally in my own growth as a leader. I don't know about you.
Well, I know each time, especially as we have gotten later into episodes, I have joked and said that this is our own individualized development plan, or I guess, can you do a group project as a development plan? I guess so. But we really have taken these concepts and thoughts and practices that we've done and maybe not have done well in our past and have really tried to live these out. And I think we share what surfaces for us that may not always be what we want people to see.
Yeah, I think Brené Brown talked about a vulnerability hangover. I've had a couple through this process. It's like, really?
Agreed.
I said that on the podcast. What was I thinking?
And you edit this stuff. So just
I do.
Saying.
Yeah. So some of it has stayed on the editing room floor, and most of it has gotten into the podcast episodes. Let's jump into the journey, and let's start with where core begins with curiosity. In our earlier episodes, curiosity was really mostly about how leaders can use questions in times of uncertainty. Since then, we've really stretched that idea into something a bit more like a stance or an identity for a leader. So, Jonna, when you think back on how we've explored curiosity, how do you see it differently today than you did at the beginning of our podcast journey?
I think originally, even conceptualizing the core framework, I considered curiosity as a tool. Like, it's a tool for me to understand, or a tool for others to get more information. How I have evolved my perspective of curiosity is stepping into a way of being and showing up as an individual who is just curious, and really breaking that mindset that we as leaders, whether we're talking about leading a team or even parenting, that we have to have all the answers. Because we don't. We're not going to have all the, especially when it comes to parenting,
no.
We are not going to have all the answers. So leaning into being a person with curiosity, or being a curious person, has allowed myself to look at things differently and hopefully not just ask better questions, but be able to be a different person.
For me, it's allowed me to stand in that unknown without jumping in to fix something.
That's huge.
It is huge. I found that I would I would jump in to try to fix something for a couple of reasons. One, that I didn't want to be seen as less than or not knowing how to do something. I wanted to be, you know, I knew people would see me as a leader, so I felt an expectation that I had to jump in to do it. But through this journey, it's really helping me shape that much deeper. And I think there are times that I had already been doing that naturally. I would be willing to stand in that unknown for longer without jumping in or trying to control something or to fix something or to drive an agenda. But through our conversations, it's helping me to be more deliberate about it.
Something that just came up to me while you were talking was that it doesn't just expand our knowledge of getting information, because that's, you know, that's where I stand, you know, get curious so I can understand, get curious so I can gain more knowledge. But curiosity allows us to stretch outside of our comfort zone. Curiosity allows us to be in a place of the unknown, allows us to be swimming in ambiguity maybe a little bit, really does allow us to create that space to unlock potential.
You mean unlock potential in others or in ourselves?
Both.
Both, yeah. It, in an odd way, but a very logical way at the same time, I think. Embracing curiosity helps a leader to stay in their lane.
Say more on that.
Because, you know, we're promoted into a position where we're managing people or we're a parent and we think we're supposed to know all the answers. And so we'll jump in. One of the things we just talked about was that it allows us to pause before jumping in. What if it's not just a pause to jump in? What if it's an opportunity to stay in my lane as a leader? That's my role as a parent, is to stay curious, not to jump in and fix. Sometimes you do just need to have an answer or give an answer. I think by embracing curiosity and being comfortable with that unknown allows a leader to stay in their lane.
Genuine curiosity really does communicate the care about the other person. There's research out there that shows as a leader who does approach leadership from curiosity creates the type of environment that there is more trust, more psychological safety, and therefore we know the connections between those and more innovation, more creativity, better problem solving, better decision making, all those things.
For you to ever hope true learning is going to happen, it has to start with that curiosity. And as a leader, we can't give someone their own curiosity.
Oh, can you say that again?
As a leader, we can't give them curiosity. I can't give an employee a curiosity. I can't give a child curiosity. I can just help spark an interest and then allow that interest to germinate into curiosity. In one of our earlier episodes, the one about the zone of optimal learning, that, you know, it starts with an interest and it has to go through curiosity and that whole area of uncomfortability before it can ever become learning. And I think we short circuit it by telling people, here's the idea, here's what I found out. So basically I'm telling you the fruits of my curiosity and then here's the learning you need to take. That's not deep learning. That's just giving people the answer. We want to help them by taking them away from some of that uncomfortable spots, but curiosity, you want them to be uncomfortable and a little messy inside of there to really deepen the learning.
So what I'm hearing you say is curiosity actually gives people permission.
Yes, for a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, so if I'm a leader and I'm modeling curiosity, genuine curiosity, and not providing the fruits of my curiosity and basically telling without telling, but I'm giving people permission to imagine themselves bigger than, or imagine what is possible, or again, open the opportunity for them to see and eventually elevate themselves into the leader who is curious.
Yeah. And it's curious as an identity, not as a tactic. I think when you look at the journey of an individual through stages of maturity as a leader, that you'll start with curiosity as a tactic. I need to bring curiosity to this moment to help do these things. So it's a mechanized step of being a leader. As you mature, you really do want to shift it to curiosity as an identity. So the mature leader is going to have curiosity as an identity.
And going back to my original statement, is curiosity is not a tool. It's a way of being. Even
yes.
As a mature leader, there is a time and a place to use it as a tool, and there's a time and place to use it as an identity or being a curious leader. if I am in the state of being curious, it is going to look, feel, and sound different and potentially create more curiosity.
Thinking about our listeners, if a leader wants to start modeling curiosity for their team tomorrow, what's the first shift they should make?
That's a great question. And I think for me, one of the things that I feel like sometimes we start using curiosity as a tool, which is fine. We can use a question to kind of ignite that level of curiosity. But I think going in and being curious about yourself, being curious about the situation before you actually encounter an individual. So being curious about what is it that you're seeing, hearing, what is it that you want to convey, right? All of those things that as you're going into that conversation, and then even in the conversation or even before, is what is it you're not seeing, right? Be curious about the bigger picture, not just what's right in front. I think can actually spark additional curiosity when you start looking at that bigger picture and can provide more information for you to get even more curious about.
So really going at it from a individually, what do I know and what do I not know perspective.
Very well said, concisely.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that recognition.
Curiosity can naturally lead into openness because we can get all of this information. We can get all these data points. If we're not willing to hear or see what surfaces for us, then we've almost wasted the energy in being curious. It's almost like using a tool and then being disappointed in the outcome, because the openness really does create what we need to grow and develop from that curiosity. So being open allows us to reach that higher potential in ourselves and in others. So I think we can kind of transition and explore what does openness within this context really means.
Well, you know, when we started the podcast, we really looked at it as just a willingness to hear that somebody may have a different perspective than us. And as our conversations have evolved, what it is shaping into is more of a willingness to then potentially act on it, like shape it with our values. I'm hearing their perspective, may not agree with it, and I need to hear more. And so really taking it and integrating it with who you are is we haven't quite gotten there yet in our conversations with openness, but I think that's where our conversations are leading. And it all is grounded in this whole concept of space, create this space for something different to be happening around us. And that's how I see it. How do you see it evolving and where we've taken it to?
Well, I think in the past couple of episodes, I really feel like the concept of being open without judgment, right? And I think that piece of it is huge and actually takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy to do that. I think we can be open and just tolerate the openness.
That's a big difference than just hearing it and tolerating it.
Correct. And so I think even for myself, because I do consider myself to be an open person, but I have found myself from that perspective of tolerating the openness and not necessarily truly sitting in, arms wide open, and looking at it with that non-judgmental, but being open to whatever is coming up is different than just tolerating that openness.
Yeah, we spent a whole episode talking about listening, and a couple of others, we even brought in the concept of deep listening. And that's what's needed for this, to be able to create that space for that openness, is really being willing to thoughtfully consider what the other person has said. And then being willing to let that shape me.
So I look at it as you say, that openness creates belonging. It tells the other person that you matter and that I value.
Oh, yes.
What you are bringing to the conversation, what you're bringing to the team, right? I think that true openness creates that sense of belonging.
Yeah, that I hadn't considered that as a connection, but it really is. Belonging. You are so much part of my community and my space that I want what you're saying to shape me, because it then shapes my thought, shapes who I am.
I think if we're going to be open to other people's perspective and hearing what they have to say, it really challenges us to, you know, put our ego aside, to put our thoughts, to put our judgment perspective aside and be vulnerable and invite them into our space. When we do that, that energy of connection with that other person is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And they do feel like they are invited into the conversation. Yeah.
Well, and then it turns the any feedback that someone may be giving me into fuel, not an opportunity to have friction. So that in an environment where openness is embraced, what feedback looks like is people are asking for it. I'm asking for it. You're asking for it. And they are eager for what the other person is going to give them.
So something that just came up for me as an example, I love the 360 assessments where individuals want to find out who their raters were and figure out exactly who said these specific things so that they can almost go and like negotiate with their perspective of your perspective is wrong and here's how I'm right and how your perspective of whatever competency or situation is incorrect. Thinking through the difference in outcomes of those 360 assessments of leaders who are completely open to that feedback and actually want more feedback. They actually seek the raters out to say, I understand this is what surfaced during the assessment. Tell me more. I want to understand more. I want to hear more. Deepens that trust and people feel valued for their perspective.
Openness requires a lot of vulnerability.
Say more on that.
So our the concept of the core framework with openness, being willing to be open to other people's perspective and to let that shape me, requires vulnerability. And it's central to success, for a leader's success, is to be vulnerable. And for our listeners, when I say vulnerability, it's not let me share all of the secrets that I would talk about in counseling or in a coaching session. It's being vulnerable about saying you were wrong about a decision, being vulnerable about I don't know what's going to happen, but here's what we do know. It's showing that you don't have all the answers. And for leaders who are not willing to do that, I think they miss a lot of opportunity in this openness space. The space that they can create for openness to occur is going to be very limited if they are not willing to be vulnerable.
Well, and I think one of the things that could potentially help someone who may be struggling with the openness piece of it is simply starting with listening sessions to those people around you, or listening sessions to your team, and just go in with the perspective that you are not going to share a thought. You are not going to share a perspective, that it is truly you stepping into a conversation. And I use that with air quotes, conversation, but you're stepping into this conversation to where you are truly, your role is to listen to what others have to say. And that can be the bridge to opening up and allowing yourself to be vulnerable to what it is that other people are saying.
You and I both have taught a lot of leaders about coaching. So coaching managers and what's this coaching skill as a manager. And I think openness and coaching are very tied together. You've got a questioning look on your face. So stick with me. It fits.
No, it's not a questioning look on my face at all. The face that I was like, no duh. That was really the look on my face, because really it's however open they are, you can almost predict the success of the coaching contract.
Yes, exactly. You know, because if you think of openness as stages, you know, as we first introduced it with the podcast, it was like just being willing to hear the perspective of another. So think of that as almost the first stage. And the next stage is, well, I'm willing to consider it and ask you some questions about it. And then another stage of it is how what I'm receiving will then impact me. And then discerning, is that how I want it? So there's this whole space that we actually take people through in coaching. And coaches create that space for that reflection to occur for a client. And it's different when it's a manager because you have the employee-employer relationship. But as a manager, as coach, if you're not willing to go through those stages of vulnerability to allow the other person to be vulnerable in a safe space, then your abilities to coach are going to be limited.
I think that's a powerful thought, especially thinking about leaders. And there's lots of books out there, lots of even TED Talks videos, YouTubes, all those types of things of a leader being a coach. But I think really you just hit on the key to a leader being a coach and really helping someone is by doing those very things.
Rather than as a manager telling them, here's what you can do, here's what you should do next. A manager asking, what can you do next? It's a very different perspective. So it's a good bleed in from the curiosity to openness. But if your curiosity is not matured, the space that you can create for the openness to arise and the learning to potentially arise for another human is limited as well. Well, this leads us to reflection, which is the next part of our framework. And early on, we talked about reflection more of as a pause to help reset all of the busyness in work. But as we've gone deeper in our conversation, reflection really has become more about noticing things in the moment, really catching ourselves before we default into our habit. Number one, knowing what our habits are. And then number two, not defaulting into them and not bringing sloppy thinking. So in episode 15, we even framed reflection as a big part of communication. So being intentional with our words before we even speak. So rather than reflection being an afterthought, it was actually integrated in our day-to-day. Jonna, when you think about reflection and how has it matured through our conversations with the podcast for you?
For me, it has become this continuous cycle. I say this all the time, that learning doesn't take place in the attainment of information. Learning takes place in the reflection of the information. So reflection is more than just looking back. It's reviewing those past actions to see, okay, what is it that I've learned? But it's noticing that in the moment, processing it, and then integrating it into whatever it is we're going to be doing in the future. And that could be right in front of us, or it could be 3 months from now, but it's that continuous cycle. And I recently read, and I wish I would have saved this quote, and I don't know where it came from. I'm going to have to probably Google it, but I thought
it's okay to not know.
That bothers me, but
I know.
I will find out. But leaders through reflection make meaning as opposed to memories for people. So
say that again.
Leaders through reflection make meaning, not memories for people. So as a leader, as a parent, as a friend, a colleague, helping someone through reflection or even reflection for ourselves, it's not just thinking back to what happened, what occurred, what information was given during a seminar, a training, but it's making those connections beyond just what that memory was, but to what does that mean for us? What does that mean for me moving forward? What does that mean for 3 months from now, a year from now? So making meaning out of that information.
What visual comes up for me is a big map and with a big arrow on it. It says learning happens here.
I love that.
Inside of the land of reflection.
Love that. Yeah. Love that.
Because we often ask or we'll share, here's the insights I got from this course or whatever. And that's the meaning. Here's what I'm taking away. Here's the meaning I've made from it.
Well, and I think reflection also builds that self-awareness, because if we do use reflection as a pause, which we've talked a lot about that, it allows us to slow down, but it allows us to recognize what are those reactive patterns that we have and can create clarity before we do those things, right? So create clarity before action and can really align, which I think is so important, our values, our beliefs, and our behavior. And by practicing that, we're modeling that behavior, but then we can also coach people through the reflection process and help them create that.
The process of reflection allows people to get clear on their current inner narrative and really get the insights about how impactful that is positively or negatively, and then rewrite that narrative.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of snickering because uncomfortable truths usually surface sometimes in reflection, and, you know, sitting in it is not always fun.
It's not, but it's necessary.
It is. It is. In order to grow, then we have to do that. And then as a leader, we have to recognize when someone that we're leading, or even as a parent, when our child needs to sit in that uncomfortable, because that in and of itself is a growth opportunity to help get them to their highest potential.
Well, how can we do that? How can we help another get better at reflection?
My go-to is asking powerful questions. So getting curious, modeling that curiosity, and then giving them permission for it to be okay, and giving them permission for there not to have to be a solution, or there doesn't have to be an outcome immediately, that it just is what it is. And being able to give them that space is critical. I don't know. How about you?
Several times in reflective conversations with people or with employees, they'll go straight to the negative of all the stuff that they did wrong or bad. And that's a way to do it, but not a lot of learning is going to happen there. It's just a lot of reprimanding themselves. And I'll listen to their negative comments, but then helping to shift. So I want to find out what their inner narrative is, like what they're saying about themselves with it. And then I'll prompt them with another view.
The question that keeps surfacing for me is, what would we do differently? And I think that question, as a reflection question, doesn't bring accusation, doesn't bring right or wrong. It's almost creating that, or striving for people to create that learning without asking, hey, what did you learn in this situation? But it's just asking them what they would do differently. And just by simply asking that question can have them almost remove themselves from the situation and look at it from an outsider's perspective and be able to process it, hopefully, with giving themselves a little bit more grace. Mm-hmm. Throughout,
I think that's a very powerful question. What would you do differently? I know when I'm helping someone with reflection, particularly if something didn't go the way they wanted, I'll ask them, "What was your intention in this?" They'll say what their intention was. And then I'll ask, did you meet your intention? Then they get to say yes or no, or part way. And then we have a whole conversation about that.
But it only works if they know what they're being intentional about, or what their intention was going in.
Then that's the conversation. I was like, I didn't have an intention. Okay. Oh. Could that have made a difference?
Absolutely.
And so that for me, the people who are willing to learn, that's a very powerful question for them. What was your intention? Did you meet your intention? Why or why not? And that gets them, that they're reflecting on the things that they did or the things they didn't do to help make sure they hit their intention.
Well, and I think through that, right, as a leader, outsider, whatever perspective you want to take on, persona you want to take on, by helping someone, it is helping them see who they are now and hopefully who they want to be, and then giving them the authority to go and do.
Yeah, individually or as a group. I think doing that, the same conversation or same questions with the full team, is very powerful to dig through either mistakes or misses that occurred so that growth can occur in the future. And it really, having the conversation as an after action, let's talk about what happened as an observer perspective. You can really ask, what was our intention as a group? Did we hit it or not? What happened? To have it go either way, then it's a real, really sparks team growth through mistakes. And it also makes it okay to make mistakes.
Well, and I think the reflection can happen as well when things go great, when you have a success, when there's time to celebrate, that you can do that reflection as well. And I think by doing it in both positive and challenging situations, it creates this norm, and it creates, this is just the way that we do things. It's the way that we, as a team, or even as individuals, that we are going to take this time to reflect and reflect upon the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And then I think particularly when new team members join, and they see the team having these types of conversations, when they then get feedback, positive or negative, on a one-on-one basis, they're at a different space of openness to hear it and to act on it.
Which I think then leads directly into embracing. Because I think as a team, as an individual, having things that surface allows us to determine, make that decision on what information we're going to embrace.
The insights and the learning come up in reflection. They're just that. They're insights. They're learning. It's still academic. It's still in a book. It might be the book in your head, but it's still in a book. And it's when we act on it that it has more of the transformative powers. And that's where the embrace, that's where embrace comes in.
So let's dig into how embrace has shifted through our journey.
For me, when we first introduced it, it was just really accepting myself or accepting things as they are and being okay with it. The way we've shaped it is really, and I think the emotional agility episode was a big influencer on what I'm about to say. It allows us from an embrace perspective to stop, pause, think on it from our values before we actually act. And the embrace part is acting on what you've integrated in your thinking. And it's a choice.
I think for me, it goes just a little bit beyond the choice, but it's like actively leaning into, right? So you're choosing it.
Yes.
But then it is even more so than it is leaning into, whether that's growth, leaning into imperfection, mm-hmm. whether that's leaning into wholehearted acceptance. And it really is leaning into if there's tension instead of avoiding it. It is just leaning in. And I think that goes beyond just the action piece of it.
So this is our journey through CORE. What started out as Forwards really has become a living framework that has been shaped by our own growth and the stories that John and I have shared along the way. For our listeners, our hope is that you don't just hear these words as concepts, but that you embrace them in your own leadership journey as well. And let the tension stay for the appropriate amount of time for the growth to occur.
And everybody's journey is different. And this framework really does create that pathway for us on our leadership journey. But we want to make sure and reiterate that this is not a checklist. The CORE acronym, you don't go curiosity check, openness check. But it really is integrated as our conversations have shifted and there have been the different concepts overlapped and also interweaved in other concepts. But overall, curiosity fuels openness, and openness allows reflection. And reflection truly leads to embrace. So for our reflection for this week to leave you, would love for you to take some time and think about who in your world is ready for more and how you as a leader can use curiosity, openness, reflection, or embrace to help them elevate to their next level.
That brings us to the end of our time. Our next episode is going to be focused on strategic leadership for the future. The conversation is based on a short article that is out on LinkedIn right now on the Quest of the CORE page, and we'll have that highlighted for you to be able to access quickly. It is a tool of thinking for where your focus is as a leader, because where your thinking is shapes the behaviors of how you show up. So sadly, we'll say goodbye again. Do not forget to take a look on our website for additional resources that we have. That's www.questtothecore.com. And all of our discussion guides are out there and also on LinkedIn.
And as always, we have to give our very special thanks to Grammy-recognized hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. You can reference his information on our website and the services he provides.
So until next time, remember, elevating others is not an extra task of leadership. It's the very heart of it. Lead with curiosity, openness, reflection, and embrace, and you'll create the conditions for others to arise.